We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is an encore guest, Brian Lee. We've had him on the show in the past. He was actually episode number 7, which was early 2017. Brian, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lori. I mean, what took you so long to bring me back, right?
Oh, well, we had a great conversation. I figured let's bring you back in. I'll just read your quick bio to reintroduce you to those that did not listen to episode 7 yet. So Brian Lee is the president of Revelation PR, Advertising, and Social Media, as well as a part-time lecturer on social media at Madison Area Technical College. Business Magazine named Brian its 40 Under 40 list in 2012. And PRSA Madison named him to its 2013 Communicator of the Year. Outside of Revelation, Brian is the editor-in-chief of Madison Startups, an online publication that covers startup news in town. He runs eatdrinkmadison.com, a Madison, Wisconsin restaurant and bar guide that is searchable by amenities. Brian, how do you have any time to even give us today to have a conversation again?
Ask a busy person to get something done, right?
Isn't that the truth? So, when I circled back to you and said, hey, would you like to come back and talk and what type of expertise can you share? I think reputation and crisis management is definitely something that is a hot topic and something I think a lot of businesses kind of throw to the side and don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it has become more important lately, especially with social media speeding up the news cycle. That something that you could let sort of hide or fester in the old days gets really exposed very quickly these days.
So tell us the difference between reputation and crisis management.
So reputation management is everything you do basically before an incident occurs. You are doing reputation management to help maintain and protect your brand, shape perceptions, and provide crisis resiliency. Meanwhile, crisis management or crisis communications is everything that occurs after an incident happens. So this is, you're doing crisis management to help restore your operations, rebuild trust, and reestablish your reputation.
Why is having a good reputation important today?
Well, two parts. First, when you have a good reputation, people are more likely to forgive you after an incident because it's out of character, and the vice versa is true. Then there's the business case. A Deloitte study shows that when an organization's reputation is damaged, there's a corresponding decrease in revenue, customers, brand value, and or stock price. In fact, some number like 87% of CEOs worldwide said reputation risk is the most important strategic risk their organizations are facing. So that alone should make it important to any business.
Wow. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, especially nowadays with everyone being able to do rating and reviews online about literally any experience, product, service that they've had. I mean, that's your reputation in the hands of the consumers globally.
Correct. Yeah, reputation is so important. That's why a lot of the larger companies especially focus a department now on corporate social responsibility, for example, just to be good citizens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I actually just taught that in my class last night, in my principles of marketing class. So when talking about reputation management, what are some of the first steps that a business or organization should look at?
Well, think about it like a campaign. And with any campaign, it's important to start with your goals. So in this case, list your business goals first, and then come up with corresponding reputation goals. So for example, let's say one of your business goals is to win a Best Place to Work award. So some potential corresponding reputation goals could be being known for a work environment that fosters employee well-being and being known as an innovative company. So from there, you're going to determine your target audiences, you're going to conduct some research, And then you're going to set objective strategies and tactics to help you achieve those reputation goals, which it, again, will in turn help you reach those business goals.
Nice. I like it. So you're a fan of the ghost mentality, ghost objective strategy tactics.
Exactly right. Yep.
Fantastic. So in addition to executing this campaign that you're mapping out, what else can you do to protect your company's reputation?
So while you're building up your reputation, it's also important to, you know, identify your reputation risks. So let's use cybersecurity breach as an example, because that's been in the news quite a bit. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, if your customer's data was hacked, that would be bad for your reputation. So you need to determine the likelihood of such an occurrence. Determine what the causes are. So maybe in this case, it's a lack of proper employee training. Determine how to prevent it. So perhaps it's improving your IT security network. And then figure out how to mitigate an incident should it occur. So for example, that might be developing a backup internal network so that you're not completely crippled in your day-to-day operations. Those are all very important things to do when you're identifying reputation risks.
I think that's really important. And I would imagine most companies aren't investing the time to do that.
No, they take the mentality, when it happens, then we'll deal with it. Versus just, you know, an ounce of prevention, right? As they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, so when things do go wrong, that's where crisis management comes into play. And would it be important to have a plan for it?
I try to tell everyone that will hear me out. Mm-hmm. It's so important to have a plan in place first. It's what I like to call this plan is a crisis communications playbook. So it goes over what you should say and do for every type of crisis your organization could encounter. For example, cruise ships, they have plans for what happens if they hit an iceberg, what happens if there's a mass illness, what happens if there are pirate attacks, honestly. So you're building this playbook in times of calm, when you have enough time to think, because during a crisis, you're not afforded that luxury. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to just look at a plan and simply execute. This playbook also includes talking points, roles, responsibilities, and pre-written statements.
Nice, nice. So say something happens at your company that's really positioning you in a negative way. How is an organization going to recover from that?
The first thing I tell people and companies is that you need to talk to all your internal audiences first. That might be staff, volunteers, board of directors, etc. They need to know what's going on, what the company's doing. It also helps improve morale and it kills the rumor mill. You would hate for one of your employees to have to find out what the company's doing by watching CNN or something like that, right? And then you will have a series of steps that you have to do. One is you have to acknowledge the situation immediately. Yes, this did occur. Then you're going to investigate why that problem happened in the first place. Then you're going to determine how you will resolve the issue and prevent it from happening again. So those steps right there have to deal a lot with operations. So a lot of people in my world mistakenly think, well, crisis communications is just about what you say. But it's important to remember that crisis communications is also about what the company does. So in this particular step, you're going to determine how to prevent it from happening again. That's very important. It might be looking at your company's policies and procedures for a particular event or whatever, and having to change that so this thing can't happen again. Mm-hmm. Then you want to tell the world, hey, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. You do need to express regret. And then if necessary, you're going to have to commit to remedy and perform restitution.
So, I would imagine all of those phases, communication both to your internal and external audience, is just as vital, not just the communicating first what's happening, but the acknowledgement, the determining, or the investigation, the determination, and then just kind of making sure it's never happening again, right?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That just makes me think that there's so many mistakes companies make, not just forgetting to talk to their internal audiences first, but within a crisis. I think one of the things I see a lot is something called victim confusion. So a simplified example is, let's say I have a glass of water and I spill it on you. I don't say I'm the victim. I don't say, oh, it sucks for me. Now I don't have any water to drink because it's been spilled. You are the victim because you have water spilled on you. Yet so many companies mistakenly think that they are the victim when they're not.
Oh, interesting.
Another big mistake is just not being sorry. I love this quote. I don't know who said it, but the quote is, the public can accept mistakes and even misdeeds. What they cannot accept is if the organization doesn't seem to care. So as I mentioned before, expressing regret, sympathy and so forth, that's very important. Another one is using logic instead of emotion. When a crisis occurs, it's an emotional time. And when you try to hide behind rules and regulations and so forth, that doesn't make people feel better, nor does it help, you know, fix things. And the final mistake I see a lot is denial. A lot of times just not saying that this incident exists. And as we said at the beginning of this interview, is that things like social media really bring things to light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So do you have a case study or something you can share with us?
I think the one that it's a little old, but people know it. It's United Airlines, and this occurred back in 2017. And just to remind listeners out there is that United Airlines had a flight that was oversold. They needed to put on their own crew members. So they asked for volunteers. Finally, they had to actually forcibly remove a passenger named Dr. Dow. As United Airlines positioned it, they had to reaccommodate him. And so, you know, there's videos of it that was wildly shared across the world to see him being dragged with his shirt mm-hmm. up, glasses askew. He had, teeth busted out. He was bloody and so forth. So a lot of the things that United Airlines did wrong was, first, their quote unquote apology was this. This is an upsetting event to all of us here at United. That is just a classic example of what I said earlier, victim confusion.
Sure.
They're saying that we're upset by this. I'm like, you're upset. What about Dr. Dow? He was beat up.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the actual victim, not United. Then the CEO used logic. I told you, as I said, don't use logic because emotion overrides all that. He said, our employees followed established procedures for dealing with situations like this. So what he was doing was hiding behind a rule book. Hey, this mm-hmm. is what our rules say. Instead of being empathetic to the situation. And then to his own staff, he called Dr. Dow disruptive and belligerent. And Dr. Dow was neither. And that, of course, got out there.
Wow.
So lots of issues right there. Denial, victim confusion, basically not being sorry, using logic instead of emotion. Those are all the things I just mentioned.
Wow.
So that's a classic case study right there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I actually forgot about that. So thanks for reminding it. I'm sure you used that one in your schooling when you're teaching, right?
Yeah. You know, it just came to mind because they did a follow-up interview with him just a few months ago on TV.
Oh.
And he's that poor Dr. Dow. He said he was pretty much blacked out that, incident from his life.
Oh, I'm sure. That's insane. Wow, that was some really good insights around reputation and crisis management. So let's circle back to that original conversation that we had in early 2017. What's changed in your world since the last time we chatted or recorded here?
Well, where to begin? I guess this year alone, I just launched a corporate event planning business called Revelation Events. And I was also just named an entrepreneur in residence at Madison Area Technical College. So
cool.
I've really been enjoying helping other entrepreneurs launch their business and guiding them forward.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So let's dive a little bit deeper into your business. Who exactly is your primary audience? Who are you doing work with? And what is the value that you're bringing to them and that they get out of working with you?
I love this question because, you and I, Lori, have some history with this, with the BIT and AMI and trying to answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting better and better. Revelation, we primarily work with hospitality clients, realtors, developers, associations, tech, and B2B companies. And although our clients do span the state and the country, our main specialty is helping clients win Madison. We have just spent years and years building our expertise and relationships in and of the area. And that's why we've been hired for local activations of national brands, for example. That is what we stake our claim on, helping clients win Madison.
That's awesome. I think that's great that you've really focused on a specific area of expertise. So that being said, how can you be a resource to my network and our listeners that are out there?
You know, that's a great question. And I've been thinking about that since you gave me the question a little bit ago, is that what I like to do is just give insights to people. So one of the things you mentioned in the introductions, I'm also the editor-in-chief of a newspaper here in Madison. And we cover all the startups and tech and biotech and so forth going on. It's been interesting because there's been a lot of communities in the Midwest that sort of want to replicate what Madison has in terms of a entrepreneurial ecosystem. So for example, there's a guy in Toledo that wants to replicate that. So he called me up and we talked at length on his podcast, for example. A guy in Indianapolis just wrote a book on this and he interviewed me. And then, so I talked to a lot of people in the community and in outside communities about what they can do. And I like just providing that expertise. I don't expect anything back. I just say, hey, this is what we've done. This is what has been successful. These are the ingredients your community could use.
That's awesome. I think that's great. So in our initial interview, I asked you if you'd like to connect with a specific individual, and you kind of gave a broad answer of you're just looking to connect with decision makers in companies. Is there anyone, has that changed at all? Are you looking to connect with a certain individual?
You know, Lori, I feel so bad, but I was listening to that interview again. I'm like, who was I talking about? I feel so bad. I looked in my CRM notes and I'm like, who was it? It could have been one of these like seven people. My guess is at some point I did reach out to that person. And I just think of a parallel example is that earlier this year, mm-hmm. I was pursuing another business opportunity for Revelation. Mm-hmm. I have several mutual connections to help reach out on my behalf, but they didn't have any luck. So finally I'm like, okay, I just got to take matters in my own hands. I reached out myself and I did get a meeting out of it. So
nice work.
I just realized that, yes, it's not bad to ask for help, but sometimes at the end of the day, you just got to do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So someone who's obviously a big advocate for Madison and just helping all around, paying it forward is just an overarching theme that we hear and see often in the business world. Can you share a recent pay it forward experience that either you had or received?
Yes, I do have a good business example. So in that previous interview, I mentioned I often refer business to someone I don't expect a quid pro quo. So mm-hmm. one time I was at this networking event and I met one person who was looking to buy a particular service and another person I met at that same networking event who actually provided that service. So it was getting toward the end of the night and I realized I bet they're not going to even meet because they're about to leave. So I made sure to grab both of them and introduce them, and they actually ended up doing business together. And one of them I've never seen again, ever. It's amazing in a small town like Madison, but I just never expected anything back from them. I was like, hey, I want to introduce you guys and I expect the kickback. No, definitely not. Just like, I'm just happy to help. Someday somebody will help me and I won't be able to pay them back, so to speak. So yeah, that's how it works, right?
No, that's great. And I mean, you didn't have to go out of your way to say, hey, you know, you two people need to talk. And I mean, that's great. I'm glad that you did that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. So, Brian, everyone loves a good tip, tool, resource, whatever it is to help save time, make their lives easier. Do you have any resources or tips or tools that you can share with our listeners?
I have so many, and I just was trying to think about how to narrow down to one. So, it's not a new tool, but I really like using OneNote.
Okay.
I use it to keep notes for all my different businesses, and I also keep a set of personal notes. So I do everything from vacation planning to saving recipes to writing outlines of blog posts on it. And I like being able to access these same notes from any device wherever I am. It's basically like having Google for your brain when you're trying to find something you were thinking about long ago.
Yeah, that's great. I've actually just started using OneNote in the last year, and I would agree. I love that it's all in kind of one, everything's in one location instead of having, you know, hundreds of files kind of splattered throughout your computer.
Yep, and I love that you can save links, you can add images, you can record audio directly into notes, you can handwrite notes if you're on your phone or tablet. It's got everything.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. If we could remove all barriers and constraints, what project would you just absolutely love to take on?
I believe it or not, I would love to write a movie script, or at least finish the one I started so many years ago, and then shop it around Hollywood. I also wrote a TV pilot script years ago. It didn't get picked up, obviously, but I would retool and shop that around too. You know, removing all the barriers and constraints is obviously time. I'm running so many businesses, as you guys know, doing all these public speaking things and so forth, and just sitting down to write. And I do so much writing in my day job and for the newspaper and for my dining guide. You know, the motivation to spend another couple hours at night to write again is tough. And then, you know, it's not super easy to just get a script picked up in Hollywood. You know, you have to know people. And I know, I think, one person in Hollywood. So, but removing all barriers and constraints, that's what I would totally focus on.
That's so fun. I love this question. And because it just kind of opens up a whole different perspective that, you know, no one knew about you. Oh, well, this is great. So, Brian, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
I love getting emails. Believe it or not, I'm Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at revelation.agency. Brian at revelation.agency.
I like how you had an emphasis on the I in Brian. Yeah, this was great. Thank you so much for taking time to come back on Social Capital and share some amazing insights around reputation and crisis management. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Lori. The pleasure was all mine. I guess I'll be back on 2021.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you for Brian to come back again as an encore guest. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send me an email, Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.